It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This is a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
So, hi everyone, welcome back to a new episode of Inside China Tech. I'm Zhen Su, a technology reporter with the South China Morning Post, and this week it is all about China's two sessions. So it's basically a series of meetings every year that happens, you know, with China's top political advisory and parliamentary body. And today I have with me my colleague, Celia Chen, who is based in Shenzhen. We are going to talk about technology founders who are at two sessions, you know, why they're there, why more of them are going in recent years. So yeah, we're going to dive right into it. Hey Celia, how are you doing today?
Yeah, hi, it's good.
So Celia, tell us, what exactly are the two sessions?
Actually, the two sessions are China's most important annual political meetings. You know, the event always starts in March, this week, and the last for 2 weeks. The reason why the event has a nickname of two sessions or Liang Hui, because the event is made of MPC and CPPC meetings. I know the names are very complicated for us. You know, MPC is National People's Congress, is China's top legislature, and the CPPC is Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. It's a government political advisory body.
So yes, Celia, I think you're definitely right. You know, the MPC, that's the legislative body, and then every year they sort of ratify policies into law. And for the CPPCC, that's more representative of the civil society, where, like, you know, they discuss everything from like tech and like health and like the economy. And so, you know, I think in recent years, there has been a very large tech angle because we have more and more technology founders who are coming as CPPCC delegates, right? So tell me, Celia, who are the prominent tech founders who are at the two sessions this year?
Baidu's founder Li Yanhong and Tencent's polymer Ma Huateng. And we also say Xiaomi's founder Lei Jun and Sogou's Wang Xiaochuan.
So why are all of these tech founders at the CPPCC?
You know, the tech billionaires are among the most sought after delegates by local medias. And why they are here? Because I think CPPC meeting is the very close way for those tech tycoons to say a thing in the industry and submit proposals.
Okay, cool. So what are some of the proposals that have been brought up by the technology founders this year?
Pony Ma Huateng, the founder of Tencent, for example, he emphasized the importance of basic science, and he warned the huge risks faced by the country if the basic science is ignored. And he also emphasized the importance of developing Great Bay Area. He also called for the government to step up ethic regulations on emerging technologies such as big data and AI. He also called for the government to step up ethical regulations on emerging technologies such as big data, AI, and gene editing.
Yeah, so, you know, speaking of Pony Ma talking about ethical regulations, I think Baidu's Robin Lee also called on officials to put a special emphasis on the ethical development of AI. So, you know, obviously, he has said that it's better for, you know, for humans to enjoy the sort of bonus or the advantages brought by AI when we are able to better sort of handle the relations between machines and humans. So yeah, I think that's pretty interesting because, you know, obviously AI is is a very big part of the Chinese government's plans to focus on technology. And this is also a big, important strategic area that China is trying to sort of catch up with the US or even outpace the US.
Yes, I also noticed that Robin Lee has gave comment on the US-China trade war on this sideline of two sessions, right?
Yeah, it's quite interesting because for these sort of tech founders or tech tycoons, obviously they do their own proposals. But outside of these meetings, sometimes journalists do get a chance to ask them questions. So Robin Lee has said, you know, when he was posed the question of whether or not the US-China trade war will affect Baidu, he has said that they basically do not have major businesses in the US. They mainly do like R&D there, research and development. So he doesn't sort of foresee that there will be like a big impact on Baidu. And so Robin Lee has also said that he thinks that AI is a very important sort of field where both China and US can collaborate and also sort of compete while, you know, enjoying sort of leading positions in this technology. And he also has mentioned that he hopes the trade war will end soon and, you know, that would facilitate more sort of healthy competition between the two superpowers. So Celia, you know, I mean, obviously we've talked about basically what Robin Lee and Pony Ma have said at the two sessions meetings, but I've also noticed that there is an absentee this year, this tech founder that has been absent. And I think SCMP broke the story on that. So can you tell us a little bit more about this tech founder who wasn't at two sessions this year?
Yes, then you're right. You know, Richard Liu Changdong from JD.com was not attending the event this year, despite he is the CPPC delegate. You know, SCMP actually break the story that Richard Liu has applied for a leave of absence from this year's meeting. Also, JD.com delighted to give a specific reason that why Liu is not there.
So it's quite rare, basically, for delegates like Richard Liu from JD.com to not attend the two sessions because, you know, as I understand, the CPPCC meetings usually have something like 3,000 delegates. And this year, I think only 24 people have applied for a leave of absence.
Yes, that's right.
And Celia, you know, one very interesting thing that happens every year at the two sessions is we often see these videos of journalists lining up in the middle of the night. And, you know, before the government work report gets released, like journalists queue as early as like 12:30 a.m. in the middle of the night in the hopes of getting like a good spot, getting the government work reports and being able to sort of look through them to break the news of what's upcoming for China this year. Are there any other interesting sort of anecdotes from the two sessions that you've heard? What are some of the quirky things that journalists do at these meetings?
You know, the journalists always wait a long time to enter the two session meetings. But when you're in the two session meeting panels, during the panels, sometimes it's very boring because most of the questions are pre-approved, but you still have the chance to be called on to ask tough questions. First, you can wear bright colored clothes, and those delegates are more likely to give questions to a journalist in a red overcoat than who is in a black coat because, you know, so many people wear black suits during the conference. And I think you can stand up and shout out your questions at end of the meeting. Some delegates may answer a question if you ask such a tough or interesting question. And you also can chase after the delegates because it's rare a chance for reporters to try and post questions to break the news. But most of the time, the delegates just keep silent.
Yeah, so, you know, I've often heard sort of stories from other journalists who cover the two sessions. So most of the time, it's really just running around, trying to doorstep delegates and ask them questions. But most of the time, this is very fruitless because lots of them choose to not comment. And, you know, it's really sometimes depend on your luck for the day, or, you know, it really depends on your grit and perseverance if you manage to get them to talk to you. Okay, so one very interesting fact of this year's two sessions is that during the government work report, when they were reading the government work report for the first time in years, the Made in 2025 initiative was not mentioned. So the Made in 2025 initiative is a blueprint for China's plan for technology supremacy. So that involves everything from semiconductors to AI to 5G to chips to robotics.
Yes, it is very interesting because they talk about that for 3 years, but certainly there was no mention of it at all this year.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously the Made in China 2025 was initiated several years ago, and they've been, you know, putting a lot of emphasis on it, sort of naming national champions, sort of putting out outlines of how they hope these industries would move towards. However, the no mention this year obviously comes amid this huge US-China trade war backdrop, where the US has been very increasingly suspicious of China's efforts to achieve technology supremacy. And, you know, as we know right now, the whole Huawei and US issue is still ongoing. So just yesterday, Huawei sued the US government for banning it from supplying equipment to federal agencies. And the US has also long alleged that Huawei's equipment could be used for Chinese intelligence. So this is something we will continue to unpack over the coming weeks. So definitely stay tuned to Inside China Tech for more insight into this developing Huawei story. Okay, Celia, I know that there is lots going on in Shenzhen. So thank you so much for your time, for coming onto this podcast to discuss the two sessions with me. Where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Celia Chen Si.
So that's at CELIACHENSI. Also, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, my handle is at Zensu. That's at ZENSOO. Also, we are putting out an almost daily coverage of tech news, you know, be it Huawei, be it about the two sessions. We're doing that at scmp.com/tech. Additionally, if you enjoy this podcast, please rate us accordingly on iTunes. We are also available on Spotify and Stitcher. I look forward to seeing you next week. Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.